You go stand at the summit, offer a prayer to Almighty Yahweh. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this, your holy Sabbath day, to give glory to you, give honor and praise to you, Father. As we seek your face, we seek your word, we ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us, that you would teach us, Father, that you would guide us and direct us. We love you, and we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Truly, Father, each one of us is seeking a blessing by being here this day. We humble ourselves before your throne of grace, Father, asking for correction, asking for guidance, and asking for more of your Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we may have committed against you. But raise your servants up. Bless us, Father. Give us that which we have need of as we seek your faith. We again thank you, Father, for all the blessings you bestowed upon us. And we ask, Father, again, that you would comfort the McKelvey family, and that you would be with Sister Dorothy, and that you would be with each and every one of us, Father, that is seeking comfort at this time. We love you, Father, and we thank you, because we know you are all wise. You know the beginning before the end. So you have a blessing prepared for us. We just are in anticipation, just waiting, Father, because we know that you will do all good things for your servants. In the Yahshua's holy name we pray, asking all in favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled, In Yahshua's Name Only. There is a dilemma in the world when it comes to the veracity of the word. How exact are we supposed to be? The scriptures tell us that there is only one name under heaven in which we must be saved. I'm going to start over in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1. And as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being severely troubled because they taught the people and proclaimed in Yahshua the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in ward to the next day. They put them in jail, or prison, as you say. For it was now evening. But many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many were of the kindred of the high priest. So his family, the whole family of the high priest was there. See? And this is the leadership, the Sanhedrin. This is the leadership of the Jewish people. We want to keep that in our minds, that who we're dealing with. Verse 7. When they had set them in the middle, they inquired, by what power or in what name have you done this? And see, we can, wait, our turn is coming. See, we're going to get our turn. Yahshua told us, don't worry about what to say, because the Holy Spirit is going to give us the answer and what we need to speak to them. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders, if we this day are examined concerning a good deed done to an impotent man, by what means this man is made whole, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Yahshua the Messiah of Nazareth, whom you impaled, he nailed them. He knew exactly where to put the guilt. Whom you impaled, not the Romans, you. See? Whom Yahweh raised from the dead, even in this name does this man stand here before you whole. He is the stone which was rejected of you, the builders, which was made the head of the corner. And in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men in which we must be saved. Now, when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Yahshua. So they said, these men haven't been taught in our university. How do they know this stuff? And seeing the man that was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. They spoke among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been worked through them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So this is the miracle. Everybody saw it. We can't deny that. But that it spread no further among the people, let us threaten them, that they speak no more to any man in this name. That's why this name is so important. And that's why the world would disguise it and have you out there using a false name, the name of the Greek mighty one, okay? Or some other mighty one. And they called them and charged them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Yahshua. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of Yahweh to listen to you rather than to Yahweh, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we saw and heard. And they, when they had further threatened them, let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified Yahweh for that which was done. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was worked. So he had been his whole life. See, so they couldn't deny it. It wasn't like it was some fluke. No, he was healed. He was healed. Now go over to chapter 3 where it happened. Chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, the minta. And a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the door of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked to receive an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, and said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something. He thought he was going to get some money, you know, because they're begging, you know, in front of the door. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but that I have, that I give you. In the name of Yahshua, the Messiah of Nazareth, walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bone received strength. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh. And all the people saw him walking and praising Yahweh. And they took knowledge of him that he sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. See, because they saw this is a miracle, you know? And I'm sure miracles were happening. They saw many of them when Yahshua the Messiah had been with them. Verse 11, and as he held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered to the people, You men of Israel, why marvel you at this man? Or why fasten your eyes on us, as though by our own power or righteousness we had made him to walk? The Elohim of Abraham and of Isaac, Yitzchak, and of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, has glorified the servant Yahshua, whom you delivered up and denied before the face of Pilate when he had determined to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and by faith in his name has his name made this man strong. So we have to understand the power that's in Yahshua's name, whom you behold and know, yet the faith which is through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that in ignorance you did it, and did also your rulers. But the things which Yahweh foreshowed by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Messiah should suffer, he thus fulfilled Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so that there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of Yahweh, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed to you, even Yahshua, whom the heavens must receive until the time of the restoration of all things, of which Yahweh spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from old, which he spoke in Isaiah. Moses indeed said, a prophet shall Yahweh Elohim raise up to you from among your brethren, like to me. To him shall you listen, and all things whatever he shall speak to you. That was in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 and 19. And it shall be that every soul that shall not listen to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and them that followed after, as many as have spoken, they also told these days, you are the sons of the prophet and of the covenant which Yahweh made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the families. But we have to accept what Abraham accepted. Abraham is a righteous man. And if we bless Abraham, we're going to receive that blessing back again. Because it says, of all the families of the earth, be blessed to you first, Yahweh, having raised up his servant, set him to bless you. And Yahshua came to bless us, brethren. He truly did. And turning away every one of you from your sins, your iniquity. Too many people want to wallow in those sins, though. They want to stay there. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. In Yahshua's name only. We want to remember that. Because the world is on a different point. They see things differently. They don't want to subject themselves to the commandments and the covenant of Almighty Yahweh. But in 1 John, we'll start in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we've seen with our eyes, and that which we beheld, and our hands handled concerning the word of life. Talking about Yahshua, and the life is manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the life, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. They're talking about our Savior. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. Yes, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And these things we write, that our joy may be made full. And this is not something that has been kept secret, you know, just among a few. This was laid out for all of the world to see, if they would only seek the Father. The call went out. Many are called, but the few are chosen because the people themselves discount themselves. They take themselves out of the equation with their sin. Verse 5, and this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that Yahweh is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yahshua, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, brethren. And there's too many people out there who have deceived themselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, that's something different. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But we know better. We know different. Turn to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to start in verse 1. Isaiah 51. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their sins, their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness. Forsook not the ordinance of their Elohim. They ask of me righteous judgment. They delight to dwell near to Elohim. Why have we fasted, say they, and you see not? Why have we afflicted our soul and you take no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find your own pleasure and exact all your labor. Behold, you fast for strife and contention, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You fast not this day so as to make your voice to be heard on high. In other words, they were fasting for their own pleasure. They were seeking their own desires. They weren't seeking Yahweh. Is such the fast that I have chosen, the day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a rush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, an acceptable day to Yahweh? Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your healing spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of Yahweh shall be your rear guard. Then shall you call, and Yahweh will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Peter and John could have walked past that man that was asking for alms, because they didn't have any money. He said, gold and silver have I not, but that which I have, that I'll give you, which is the power, the healing of Yahshua the Messiah in his name only. It says, if you will take away from the middle of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking wickedly, and if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, that your light rise in darkness and your obscurity be as the noonday, and Yahweh will guide you continually, and satisfy your soul in dry places, and make strong your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation of the generation, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. And this is what we have to do. We have to restore these paths that have been taken away. See, the leaders of Israel knew the right way. They knew what to teach. That's why in Matthew 23:1, Yahshua told them, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Do as they say, not as they do, because they were hypocrites. And we can't be hypocrites like them. See, we have to be Eliyahu. We have to be the restorer of the past to dwell in. Eliyahu is here proclaiming the name of Yahweh in Yahshua's name only. Malachi chapter 4. I think people forget about Eliyahu and that Eliyahu must first come before Yahshua returns. It says in 1, for behold, the day comes. It burns as a furnace, and all the proud and all that work wickedness shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and gamble as calves from the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I make, says Yahweh of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, even statutes and ordinances. And we know that as the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. He's telling us to remember it, because so many people have forgotten to keep the Sabbath. So many people have forgotten Yahweh's name. So many people have forgotten how to treat their neighbor. It tells us not to commit adultery. It tells us not to steal. It tells us the things that Yahweh wants us to do and what he wants us not to do. He said, behold, I will send you Eliyahu, the prophet, before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And I'm telling you, these days are coming quickly upon the earth. Psalm 118. Starting verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. And all of us that know Almighty Yahweh knows that he is good. For his loving kindness endures forever. Let Israel now say that his loving kindness endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his loving kindness endures forever. Let them now that fear Yahweh say that his loving kindness endures forever. Out of my distress I called upon Yah. Yah answered me and set me in a large place. Yahweh is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Yahweh is on my side among them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to put confidence in man. I'll say that again. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to put confidence in man. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to put confidence in princes. All nations come past me about. In the name of Yahweh, I will cut them off. They compass me about. Yes, they compass me about. In the name of Yahweh, I will cut them off. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. In the name of Yahweh, I will cut them off. Pushing, you push me to fall, but Yahweh help me. Yah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of Yah. Yah has chastened me grievously, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter into them. I will give thanks to Yah. This is the gate of Yahweh. The righteous shall enter into it. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and become my salvation. And truly, Yahweh is our salvation, brethren, because he has given us Yahshua. And in Yahshua's name only is what we're supposed to pray. And anything that we ask in Yahshua's name, he said he would give it. Verse 22, it says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, we plead you, O Yahweh. O Yahweh, we plead you, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. Yahweh is El, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. You are my El, and I will give thanks to you. You are my Elohim, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. See, Almighty Yahweh knows what we have need of, even before we ask. He has the blessing prepared for his people. We just have to be patient enough to wait for it. We have to be patient enough to understand that Yahweh is the one that is guiding us, teaching us. Turn over to Matthew. Chapter 23. I quoted a little bit from this earlier about the scribes and Pharisees, but we're going to look at a different part of it. Verse 29, we'll read on down. I mean, I said this several times when we were in this passage, everybody should read the whole chapter. But Yahshua was trying to get his point across to the leaders as well as the people who were following, that they, you know, needed to listen to the scribes and Pharisees, but not do what they did because they were hypocrites. Verse 29, it says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets and garnish the tombs of the righteous and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we should not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore you witness to yourselves that you are the sons of them that killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you offspring of vipers. How shall you escape the judgment of Gehenna? Therefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them shall you kill and impale. Some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. And sure enough, that's what Paul did. He persecuted the faith until Yahshua got him on that Damascus road and showed him the light. He opened his eyes after he blinded him because he was already blind. He was one of the rulers, one of the leaders that couldn't see. He was one of those Pharisees that was out there doing the work of the high priest in the Sanhedrin. They were persecuting Yahshua's people. He didn't know about Yahshua's name at that time. But guess what? Yahshua opened his eyes, just like he's opened each and every one of our eyes. And we have to go out here and share that with others to open their eyes so that they would see that we have a Savior. See? Verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of Abel the righteous to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you killed between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem that killed the prophets and stoned them that are sent to her, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall not see me from this time, till you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. And that's what has to happen, brethren. They have to call, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh, to receive in these last days of blessings. Turn over to Matthew 21. Let's start in verse 33. Matthew 21, verse 33. It says, here, another parable. There was a man who was a householder, who planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, and dug a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbands, who rented it to these husbands, and these men of the orchard, who was going to take care of it, and went into another country. And when the season of fruits drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen to receive his fruits. He wanted to receive this property. And the husbandman took his servants, and beat one and killed the other, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did to them in like manner. But afterward, he sent to them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But the husbandmen, when they saw the son, said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. And this is what the world thinks. They don't know Yahshua the Messiah. They don't know the Savior. Satan has got them thinking that, you know, we can kill this, we can kill the heir. And we will inherit. We will be the ones that own everything. And they took him and cast him forth out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard shall come, what will he do to those husbandmen? They say to him, he will miserably destroy those miserable men and will let out his vineyard to other husbandmen who shall render to him the fruits in their season. Yahshua said to them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. This was from Yahweh and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh shall be taken away from you and shall be given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits of it. See, because Israel, the Jews had that. They had the son, and they killed him. See, they didn't reverence the son. In verse 44, and he that falls on this stone shall be broken to pieces. But on whomever it shall fall, it will scatter him as dust. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he spoke of them. And they sought to lay hold on him. They feared the multitude because they took him a prophet. But they were planning at that time to kill him. See, because their hearts weren't right. He was the head of the corner. In Yahshua's name only, and they knew who he was. It says it here that they knew he was from Yahweh. But what did Caiaphas do? He says, he spoke a prophecy. It's better for one man to die for the nation instead of the Romans come and kill us all, which they still came in 70 time and era and destroyed the temple and the Jewish people. But And that was a true prophecy of Caiaphas. Go back to verse 1 of Matthew 21. Verse 1. Matthew 21, verse 1. But when he drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Yahshua sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village that is over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if anyone say anything to you, you shall say the teacher has need of them, and straightway he will send them. And now this has come to pass, that it might be fulfilled that which is spoken through the prophet, saying, tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes. Weep. Riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did even as Yahshua appointed them, and brought the ass and the colt and put them on them the garments, and he sat on it. And the most part of the multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them in the way. And the multitude that went before him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was stared, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is the prophet Yahshua from Nazareth of Galilee. Everyone claims to have the authority of Almighty Yahweh in these days, but they refuse to keep the covenant. You can talk to from the Pope on down to a Pentecostal preacher. Everybody claims to have the authority of the scriptures from Almighty Yahweh, but they will not use the name of Yahshua the Messiah only. See, they've been taught, because Satan has them confused, that they can use this name, Jesus. See? And it has power. But the power is only in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 8, we use this close the Sabbath, this passage. It says, Finally, be you all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brother, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil, which the world does. See? Or reviling for reviling, but comfort-wise, blessing. For to this were you called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of Yahweh are upon the righteous, and his ears to their supplication. But the face of Yahweh is upon them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be zealous of that which is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And fear not their fear, neither be troubled, but sanctify in your hearts the Messiah as sovereign, ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. See, our purpose is different than the world. See, we're here to help save them. We want to fulfill that great commission that Yahshua gave us. See, if we're selfish, we're only concerned about ourselves. But we're not. We're out here trying to get this message to every part of the world so that they would understand that there's salvation in only Yahshua's name. In Yahshua's name only. Verse 16, it says, having a good conscience, that in what you are spoken against, they may be put to shame that revile your good manner of life, in which in the Messiah. For it is better if the will of Yahweh should so will that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, because the Messiah also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, that before the time were disobedient, when the long-suffering of Yahweh waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is, 8 souls, were saved through water, which also after a true likeness does now save you, even baptism. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward Yahweh, through the resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah, who is on the right hand of Yahweh, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. Trust me, he can subject them to us as well. Because we, when we overcome, will be judging angels, as the word says. See? But we have to look at it from the same perspective. It's not about building yourself up. It's about serving. See? It's about serving Yahweh. And this is what we're trying to do. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, which is right across the page, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which comes upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened to you. But insomuch as you are partakers of the Messiah's sufferings, rejoice, that at the revelation of his glory you may also rejoice with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of the Messiah, you are blessed." And brethren, we have been blessed because the glorious Spirit of Yahweh rests upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a meddler in other man's matters. But if a man suffer as a despised believer, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify Yahweh in this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of Elohim. And if you begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that do not obey the good tidings of Yahweh? They're not going to be there. They're not going to exist. And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the lawless and sinner appear? They won't. Therefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit their souls in well-doing to a faithful Creator. And truly, we do have a faithful Creator, brethren, because He has given us His Son. He's blessed us with an example of how we should live our lives, how we should overcome this world. Our closing passage, turn over to John chapter 16. Brethren, in Yahshua's name only is how we should live our lives, how we should overcome this world. In John chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "These things have I spoken to you, that you should not be caused to stumble. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the hour comes that whoever kills you shall think that he offers service to Elohim." He thinks he's doing Yahweh a favor. "And these things will they do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I spoken to you, that when their hour has come, you may remember them, how that I told you, and these things I said not to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I go to him that sent me. And of you ask, where are you going? But because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send it to you. And it, when it has come, will convict the world in respect of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you behold me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it shall guide you into all truth. For it shall not speak from itself, but whatever things it shall hear, these it shall speak, and it shall declare to you the things that are to come." And that's what we are prepared to hear, brethren, the things that are to come. "It shall glorify me, and for it shall take of mine, and shall declare it unto you. All things whatever the Father has are mine. Therefore, said I, that he takes of mine, and shall declare it unto you. A little while, and you shall behold me no more. And again a little while, and you shall see me. Some of his disciples therefore said one to another, what is this that he says to us, a little while, and you behold me not? And again a little while, and you shall see me. And because I go to the Father, they said therefore, What is this that he says a little while? We know not what he says. After Yahshua is raised, did they not see him again? Yes, they did. And he told them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait to be together in one place. See, if they were not obedient, they would not have received all the Holy Spirit. But because they listened, they received that gift. And that's what we have to do. We have to be obedient to the end. Verse 19, it says, Yahshua perceived that they were desirous to ask him, and he said to them, do you inquire among yourselves concerning this, that I said a little while, and you behold me not, and again a little while you shall see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour has come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish, the pain, for the joy that a man is born into the world. You therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one takes away from you. And in that day you shall ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. These things have I spoken to you in dark sayings. The hour comes when I shall no more speak to you in dark sayings, but shall tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say to you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Do we believe that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, brethren? Yes, we do. I came out from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples say, lo, now speak ye plainly and speak no dark saying. Now we know that you know all things, and need not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that you came forth from Yahweh. Yahshua answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour come, yes, has come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and truly Yahshua overcame this world. So each one of us has that overcoming. We've overcome the world as well through his death, through his shed blood. He has the victory over Satan the devil in this world. So brethren, anything that we ask in Yahshua's name only, he says he would give it to us. What are we going to ask for? Later today, if you have time, read the next chapter, John 17, which is the high priestly prayer, because it goes right along with what we ended with. But what I want you to understand is that Yahshua told us that if we ask anything in his name, he would give it to us. In Yahshua's name only. Brethren, we have to follow and do what Yahshua told us to do. We want to see the blessings from on high, we have to trust him. We have to exercise the Holy Spirit that Almighty Yahweh has endowed us with, because this is the key to us having this victory over this world and Satan the devil. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of us as we seek to do that which is right in Almighty Yahweh's sight. Truly we know that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. But we have to keep the faith, brother. And we have to be those people that are leading this work until Yahshua returns. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of us as we seek to do his will. If you'd rise now, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we love you. We thank you, Father, for granting us this great opportunity to be a part of your kingdom, to be a part of your service. Father, we want to be your servants. We love you. We've taken on the name of Yahshua the Messiah. We've taken on his baptism and his death so that we would be a part of your kingdom. We ask, Father, that you would bless us, that you would watch over us, that you would manifest yourself to us through your Holy Spirit. You told us that anything we ask in your name, you would give it to us. Father, we're asking now that you would bless your servants, that you would show us the miracles, the things that you have prepared for your people in these last days. We ask that you would bless the McKelvey family and bless Sister Dorothy. Father, touch each and every one of them and their lives. Manifest yourself to them, Father. We know that you can do all things. And we ask, Father, if it's your will, if you want to resurrect your servant, do so. We ask, Father, that you would bless this work in these last days so that people would see and know that it's your work and it's your will that's being done and worked out on this earth, because Yahshua is coming soon. So, Father, grant us the blessing. Watch over your servant throughout the world, wherever they might be. Touch their hearts and give them, Father, the assurance of your Holy Spirit as it's active in each and every one of our lives. We know, Father, that you can do all things. We love you and thank you for the great sacrifice and shed blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. In his holy name we pray. Hallelujah.